It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
In the barn.
Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the barn, the Bet America Radio Network. So pleased that you've chosen to join us here out in podcast land. We've got a busy show for you coming up as we wind up what has been a busy week here in the barn and in horse racing. Of course, another big Saturday as we build up toward the Kentucky Derby, the Gotham Stakes, the big feature. We had a great conversation with Jason Blewett yesterday. If you haven't checked that out, be sure to today, as we did touch on the Gotham as well as racing in New York in general. We got the barn jury ready to deliberate the future of who will be the announcer at Santa Anita. And I specifically asked them the question, not who do you want to be, but who will be the announcer at Santa Anita when they make the big announcement coming up. But I tell you what, it's been a busy week. It's been a stressful week. I need to hear a little a good Friday warm-up here. Oh, aren't we looking forward to the weekend? Yeah, that song, it just always gets me pumped up and puts me in a good mood. It's a horrible song, but it makes me feel good. So we're going to listen to it on Fridays. But yeah, the barn jury coming up in a little bit. We're also going to be joined by Gary Sutton, who is a horse player and now a two-time qualifier for the Horse Player World Series. We had our tournaments all of January and February on Friday nights for those Horse Player World Series qualifiers. And we actually had two players, Kevin Perot and now Gary Sutton, who qualified twice. A fantastic handicap because it's a winner-take-all situation. So kudos to both them. And we'll talk to Gary about his tournament experience, about you know, what he's thinking going into the Horse Play World Series. Such a huge event, and it's only about 4 weeks away now. It comes up at the end of this month down at the Orleans. And they're saying over $1 million prize pool, so it should be a fantastic event. I'm going to head down to Vegas probably in a couple of weeks, get down there a little bit early, and get settled in, get the show going live from Sin City, and we'll be covering the Horse Player World Series. Now I'm going to stick around for another week after because my favorite band, The Killers, are playing the brand new MGM Grand Arena. And my buddy Waddell got me tickets, so we're going. So very excited to spend a couple weeks down in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Couple big events I wanted to talk to before we get to the jury. Coming up at Maidan, they have a special Super Saturday card. You know, Maidan always runs the Dubai. They always run the big races on Thursdays as we go throughout the season, and then their big Dubai World Cup days on a Saturday. Well, this Saturday is their special Super Saturday. It's kind of the big final preps for the Dubai World Cup. And, of course, we already saw California Chrome in his prep a couple of weeks ago and was fantastic. But, you know, he kind of wanted an easy tune-up, I think. But there's some very exciting and competitive races coming up in Dubai. They get started early, though. The second race, which is actually one of interest to me, it's a 6-furlong sprint, the sprint prep for the Golden Shaheen. It's 7:35 a.m. Eastern, so it's 4:35 in the morning my time. So I get up pretty early. I get up about 5, so I might have to set the alarm a little bit early. Because Rich Tapestry, who we remember is a Grade 1 winner from Santa Anita, he was a horse that came over from Hong Kong, won a Grade 1 at 7-1, actually went off favorite in the Breeders' Cup sprint, and was well beaten that day, finished 14th, but came back to this was back in 2014. Came back to Dubai last year, ran in the Golden Shaheen, finished a pretty good third, and then was in Singapore, Japan, back to Hong Kong, and now back to the UAE, and won a nice sprint last time out. So Rich Tapestry is the 3-2 morning line favorite in that second race, the Mahab Al Shimhal. I need to work on my Dubai pronunciations. But just a field of 6 in that race, kind of surprised. In fact, the fields are kind of short for the big day. The next race is the Maidan Sprint, 5 furlongs on the grass. Prep for the Alquaz Sprint, which is a 5-furlong grass race there. Another wide-open group, though, 11 horses in this one. And I've said before on the show when we've talked handicapping with other players, grass sprints are my Achilles heel. I am just awful at handicapping. I've never had a feel for him, and will not pretend to act like I know what I'm going to tell you. The fourth race is the Burj Nahar at a mile. It's essentially a prep for the mile dirt race there. And Cool Cowboy is a horse that has some American connections. He was running at Arlington Park, Prairie Meadows. You know, he kind of was doing the Midwest, even showed up at Mountaineer and won won a stakes event at Mountaineer for at 1-2, so he was well backed in that one. But he went over and ran in this race, or actually, no, he ran in the sprint prep and finished fourth, and then ran in the Golden Shaheen and finished sixth. So he's kept some good company, and he's been over in Maidan for this season here and has a win and a second in his last two starts. So Cool Cowboy, certainly one with American connections that could have something to say in the mile prep. The mile and a half turf, the Dubai City of Gold. This is a $250,000 race, and another very solid field, eight runners. Again, a little surprised that there's not a bigger field for a long turf race like this. You know, Dubai World Cup night, obviously the fields are going to be massive. But Darion for Christophe Soumillon is the 3-1 slight favorite on the morning line. I'm sorry, 8-5 on Postponed, who comes into this race off two straight wins, a Group 1 and a Group 2 in England and France, respectively, the 8-5 morning line favorite. The Maktoum Challenge Round 3, and this is the one I think everybody's interested in because this is the prep for the Dubai World Cup. Moubtahij, who was fifth in a very disappointing effort in his first start at Maidan. He was the even money favorite that day. Just didn't fire it off for some unknown reason, and I have not figured out why. People love this horse and think he's just, you know, loaded and so full of potential. He was very impressive when he won the UAE Derby last year. I wasn't a big fan of that race, and people loved him in the Derby, and he ran eighth. People loved him in the Belmont, and he ran a non-threatening fourth. Now, mind you, he was, you know, chasing American Pharoah in both those, but he was also beaten by Dortmund, Keen Ice, Firing Line, and Frosted. You know, Frosted's obviously a horse that's getting ready for the Dubai World Cup as well. And Moubtahij is 5-2 on the morning line. Second choice because Keen Ice is the 2-1 favorite. And the reason they make the morning lines on these American horses because they always get overbet because the pools are U.S. pools. And these horses always take so much money. You know, Keen Ice is still a non-winners of three. And he's, you know, he had that big win in the Travers and beat American Pharoah and, you know, was never a threat in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Ran okay fourth behind FNX in the Clark Handicap. Didn't run a jump in the Don, and a lot of people said, oh, he needed more ground. And so he's going to get the more ground on Saturday. A mile and a quarter is what they've been wanting to give him. And Keen Ice, he's drawn out on the far outside and picks up the best rider in the world, Ryan Moore. So that certainly helps his cause. And his father, of course, won the Dubai World Cup Curling. But I certainly would be inclined to try to find some value in this race because I don't like Moubtahij at all, and I think Keen Ice is very beatable. So a pretty wide open affair there. The other horse that's interesting that shows up there is Golden Soul. You might remember him from way back when he finished second in the Kentucky Derby a couple years ago. I'm not sure why he's over here or why he's running in this race, but he is. He showed up and ran in a turf race at Maidan last time and finished a decent third. So, you know, maybe they're just giving him a shot. And, you know, at a mile and a quarter, he's proven that he can pick up some pieces, and maybe that's what they'll try to do. And then the seventh race is the Jebel Hatta $300,000 event going a mile and an eighth on the grass course, and that rounds up. One of the things I like about Dubai, I like the short cards. I've debated this with friends. You know, a lot of times big days in America, we have these just monster 13 race cards and they go all day. But Dubai, man, they knock them out. Seven races in 3.5 hours and you're out the door. Can't beat it. And it's just nonstop great racing, great action. So that's coming up this Saturday. It's bright and early, 7:30 Eastern is when the racing gets underway. I believe, and this is totally me guessing, but like the first race, usually you can't bet at Dubai. So I think the wagering actually starts in the third. Oh, no, they got a win place and all that stuff on the thing. So maybe I'm full of crap. But anyways, should be an exciting day over in Dubai. And then also a big day coming up at Gulfstream Park, a couple of really nice races, including the Gulfstream Park Handicap. Somebody was saying it was the Pletcher Handicap. He's won two out of the last three, but I think he's won it three times total. He won it with Palace Malice in 2014, Discreet Dancer in 2013, and then he won it back in 2006 with Harlington. But, so, I mean, you know, three times. It looks like it's more the Bill Mott. Bill Mott won it 3 years in a row, including with Cigar. Shug McGahey won it last year with Honor Code. This is a race that's produced some really nice horses. Honor Code, Palace Malice, Discreet Dancer, Mucho Macho Man. You know, Corinthian was all right. Eddington was all right for our buddy Mark Hennig. And Barron's won it a couple of years in a row, Skip Away. So, I mean, this is Cigar. I mean, this is a race that's had some pretty nice history. And Valid is kind of, you know, he's kind of the it horse right now. He's finished second twice in a row behind Mishawish, who is going to be pointed towards that Dubai World Cup. And, you know, I don't think he's doing a prep over in Dubai. I think he used the Don Handicap as his prep. But there's no Mishawishes in this race. It's a Knockout has actually been made the 2-1 morning line favorite. And he finished fourth behind Valid in that Don Handicap last time out. So he's, you know, it's Pletcher and it's Luis Saez, and you got to figure they'll certainly get some attention. Stanford down on the inside is actually one I kind of like with Javier Castellano, another Todd Pletcher runner. You know, he hasn't been competing against this level of talent. He finished a good second in the Louisiana Derby behind International Star last year, but I thought his effort in the Fred Hooper, even though he finished second, was pretty good, and it earned him a really big speed figure, at least for Brisnet, which is what I use. And I don't know. I thought he could be a little bit of a sneaky play, but I think there's some value to be had if you try to go away from Valid. You know, Valid's been so strong at Gulfstream Park. 6 wins, 4 seconds, and a third from 13 starts. I mean, he loves it down there in South Florida. And as we know, being a Gulfstream specialist is always a good thing down there. It just seems like a lot of horses just tend to love the racing down there. So should be a fantastic Saturday. Don't forget to go to BetAmerica.com and BetAmerica.com/extra for all the information about these races. Reminder that the Gotham Stakes is part of our Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. If you bet a $10 win ticket up to $25 win ticket on any of the horses in the Gotham and that horse wins, you'll get that same amount bet to win on him in the Kentucky Derby should he make the starting gate. So it's a fantastic promotion. It includes the Tampa Bay Derby next week. And so it's basically for all the points races as we lead up to the Kentucky Derby. And if you haven't signed up yet for Bet America, we have a fantastic $300 sign-up bonus. It's the best in the industry. You deposit $300. We'll match it, and you'll get that money as you play in 10% increments. So if, you know, first day there, you bet $150, next day you get $15 in your account. And so then that'll fill up all the way to the $300. If you only want to deposit $100, we'll match you for the $100. It's totally up to you, and it's the best in the industry. So check that out at BetAmerica.com/extra. BetAmerica.com/extra. So we're going to head out to our first time out. When we come back, the bar and jury will be deliberating who will be the next announcer at San Anita Park. And then Gary Sutton, a horse player that's now a 2-time qualifier for the Horse Player World Series, going to be joining us a little bit later on in the show. It's the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, and it's now time for the Bet America jury. We are going to be debating not who do we want to be the Santa Anita announcer, but who do we think will be the new Santa Anita announcer. My guess is they're probably going to be making a decision here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, as soon as the big cap and the Santa Anita Derby are over. I would think probably about April 10th we'll know who will be the voice at the Great Race Place. The final four nominees, to remind you, Frank Miramati, Michael Rona, Craig Evans, and David Fitzgerald from the UK. And so we will be asking our jurors, who do they think will be the new voice of Santa Anita Park as we begin the barn jury. All right, so we've gathered five jurors from across the land, myself included. I always get to go last, which is nice. And we will be deciding who will be the new voice of Santa Anita Park. All right, so back here in the Bet America jury, we're in the jury room with our first juror, and he is Raider Mike. Raider Mike, how are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I know you're a huge FNX fan. Are you fired up about the big cap?
Oh, yeah, man. That just brought a smile to my face. I knew he was, it was a possibility. So that's why he just got to Santa Anita a few hours ago. I'm definitely excited to see him run out here.
Well, Mike, the case before the jury today is we've seen a lot of debate. There's been a lot of talk about the Santa Anita announcer position, and our question for the jury is not who do you want to get the announcing job, but Raider Mike, who will get the Santa Anita announcing job?
I just got to preface this by saying that I think Michael Rona is the best race caller in the country, But from day one, this was set up for Frank to take over. And they gave him opening day. He's going to be calling next week for the Big Cats. You know, Trevor, they let him call Thursday and Friday. Then they bring some guy from Mongolia down to call the weekends. You know, this has all been set up for Frank to take over. I think it's just inevitable at this point. And I do wish Michael Rona the best. I hope he gets a nice gig somewhere other than Golden Gate. He needs to be on the big stage.
Yeah, Michael's he's pretty great. So, all right, well, one vote for Frank Miramonte, but from a Michael Rona fan. I think everybody's a Michael Rona fan.
Yeah, he's great.
Except for Josh, who we'll hear from a little bit later. All right, Raider Mike, we appreciate your vote. So one vote for Frank Miramonte, and we'll move on to our next juror. All right, so now we go down to the Inland Empire and welcome in the handicap and king of the Inland Empire, Evil Seabass. Evil Seabass, how are you?
No, I'm good, Jason. How you doing?
Evil Seabass, before we get to the jury, we got to talk about your Gulfstream Park Rainbow Six capping.
All right, let's talk about it.
I look on Twitter. I see a $1.20 ticket that you turned into like 13 hundo.
Yep.
That must have been that must have been an amazing ride.
You know, it was going in. I was thinking I was like sighting the last, and I was like, okay, so I need to get to sight. Well, how am I gonna get there? And so I'm like, well, Mohan Men's a single, and in the first leg I'm like heart to heart, so I need to spread in the other three legs. I end up singling in again. Obviously, there's four singles on a ticket. I end up singling in the fourth leg, and I'm like, I need the Castellano Chad Brown horse. I had the two Fletchers. I was like, I hate them both. I hated the race they're coming out of. I was like, forget it. I don't need them. And I'm like, all right, why not take $1.20 stab? If I get my prize horse in the second leg, I'm good to go.
And who was the prize horse?
The prize horse was Faux Filer.
Oh, yeah, the 13.
She was, go ahead.
The 13 that came flying down the outside.
Yep, I tell you, on paper, she was horrible. But when you go back and watch the races, you know, she didn't have a chance of either of them.
Yeah, it was. You posted the ticket. And, I mean, for $1.20 to turn it into a dime, that was some really good handicapping. And you know, it's funny. Like some of those sequences, like you said, Mo Heyman was a single. I mean, you know, there's some of those sequences where they give you one or two, and it really it becomes a pick four. And if you can narrow it down and get it, man, and that was some impressive capping, man. You've been on a roll.
You know, I'm just trying to improve every day. You know, bit by bit. I lose a lot more than I win. It's just a matter of, you know, maximizing profits when you win.
don't we all, my friend?
$1.20 into a 1300. You know, that's pretty good ROI.
Yeah. You can go for the next couple months on tickets like that, and it'd be good.
Yeah, I'm gonna try.
he will test it out, folks. Well, Seabass, we got to get down to business. The jury is debating right now. The vote is one vote for Frank Miramonte, and you're the second juror. And so I ask you, who will get the Santa Anita announcer's job?
Well, you know, the question is who will get it, not who I want to get.
That's exactly the question.
Who will get it? It's going to be Miramonte.
Okay, two in a row for Frank. And why
Miramonte's gonna get the job? Why, everybody and their grandmother wants Miramonte.
Now well, that's what I was gonna ask. Who do you want?
You know, to tell you the god awful truth is he's fourth on my list.
Okay.
Hey, I love Rona. Rona's great. But I was really impressed with the gentleman from Singapore. I'm blanking on his name.
Craig Evans.
Yeah. He was fantastic.
Very subtle.
Oh,
a subtle race call.
Very, very subtle, but he was spot on. He could call the entire field. He could have called these races with his eyes closed. He was that accurate.
Yeah, I had him on the show actually it was just this last Monday. He told me, he said it was 22 hours to get over here. And then he had a couple of days to kind of get settled in and then call the races. And then he was right back out and had to work again in Singapore like the next Wednesday.
That's professional. He was outstanding. And then the gentleman they just had last week, he was good too. But, you know, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, you know.
Okay.
And I don't think Sandy ever really wanted to give the job to anybody but Miramonte. They had Rona at the Golden Gate, so they were like, all right, we'll bring him down and give him a chance. Of course, they then cut into his 3 week period this week by having him call only Thursday, Friday. And then they bring in the two gentlemen overseas, and you couldn't hear them on track.
Yeah, ooh, so that's your conspiracy theory.
You could not hear them on track. I'm dead serious. Especially the English gentleman from this past weekend. You could not hear him on track. You go back and you listen to him call the races on replays. He's phenomenal. But on track, you couldn't hear him. And I'm looking around. I'm like, this is ridiculous. You know, it's not that crowded, and I can't hear him at all. I'm like, they need to turn the mic up. But, you know, I'm a cynic. What can I say?
All right. Well, we will see best. I'm planning on going down there in a couple weeks before I go over to Vegas for the Horseplay World Series. So one of my goals is to watch races with you and Raider Mike.
Oh, it's a good time. You should have seen Raider Mike on Sunday. He had a nice little story. He was hyped.
He told me, he said there was a group in the bar next to him who was all rooting for the other horse that he beat out in the photo, and he said he was kind of obnoxiously cheering in front of him.
I imagine. I saw him after the race, and he was like, did I win the photo? And I was like, who you had? He said, both. I was like, yeah, you won the photo. And she was like, it's a better price to win the photo. And I said, well, I don't know. And it worked out for him.
Perfect. All right, well, Evil Seabass, we appreciate your vote, and we'll move on to our next juror. All right, we now go to our correspondent north of the border. It's Sam the Seer Man. Sam, you're also our resident conservative debate expert. And what did you think of last night's debate?
You know, it's same old, really. Just another gong show of conservative versus Trump candidates. It's getting real annoying real quickly.
I got to admit, I thought there would never be anybody that I wanted to not hear about on Twitter more than Kanye West. But Donald Trump has eclipsed that.
I second that, man. This is getting very old. I just want this thing over and done with, to be honest with you. And I'm a politics junkie.
Well, Sam, we're debating tonight not who do we want to be the Santa Anita announcer, but who will be the new announcer at Santa Anita Park?
Frank Mirabadi. I mean, this goes without saying. They're giving him the big dates already. They're letting him prove his case. He's passing with flying colors. I think they're done and gone away with the foreign-sounding voice. Rona can stay where he's at, and I don't even know who the other Singaporean guy is. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I sound like Donald Trump, but he can stay over there too, as far as I'm concerned. Give it to Frank. He's earned it. He's got his teeth everywhere that he needs to do. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a great fit. He does a good job.
Singaporean. I don't know if that's a real word or not, but we could certainly look it up.
Build a wall around Santa Anita and just let Frank in.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that makes it now 3-0 for Frank Miramati. So me and Equibase votes will be inconsequential. Frank has locked up the who will be the announcer title. But, Sam, we appreciate it. We hope that you stay warm up there, buddy.
Back to the Crown Royal. See you next
week. All right. See you later, Josh. Or, I mean, Sam. All right. We move now to our fourth juror. And Equibay, I got to tell you, the vote is already over. It's 3-0 right now. I won't tell you who, but the question before you is, who will be the new announcer at Santa Anita?
Oh, it's going to be Frank Miramati.
It's now 4-0 then.
Awesome.
Why do you say that?
He's just the best. I think he's the best in the country right now, and he deserves it. He's from out there and everything.
Yeah, I talked to Frank today, actually, and my favorite part about talking to Frank is there's a 40 to 50% chance at some point during the conversation he's going to put me on hold, and then I'll hear him in the background ordering a pizza.
Oh, that's really funny.
It's so great. Like, he told, like, when I was talking to him a couple weeks ago, he's like, hey, hold on one second. He goes, I want the cheese pizza combo. And I said, where are you at? He's like, I'm at Valentino's. It's the best place to go.
Enthusiast.
Oh, I did. That's his thing. And he's a vegetarian. And so I went to dinner. I went to dinner with him at Oaklawn, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm a vegetarian." I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, but I don't eat vegetables." So he eats carbohydrates and like cheese pizza and pasta, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's probably why he's maintained a figure such as mine.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, 4-0 as Equibay also teams up with Frank. So, Equibay, we'll catch up with you next week.
All righty. See you
later. All right. Thank you. All right. So, Frank Miramati with a 4-0 sweep. I'm the fifth vote. And because it's such a, you know, a drubbing, I will abstain. Plus, like, I'm kind of biased. Like, Frank is actually a really, really close friend personally. And so I've made no bones that I'm certainly rooting for Frank. But that being said, Michael Rona's always been extraordinarily awesome to me. He's an awesome race caller, and I'd be happy to see him get it as well. And I had Craig Evans on the show last week, and Craig couldn't have been cooler. So David, I don't know. So sorry, David. But anyway, so the bar jury has ruled Frank Miramati will get it. You know, the bar jury's been right about Dortmund so far. And, they've been hitting at a pretty high rate of accuracy, so best to heed their call. But anyways, so that's the bar and jury for this week. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Gary Sutton, who's a player at BetAmerica, who is now a two-time Horse Player World Series qualifier. He won two out of our seven qualifiers that we had on Friday night. So we'll talk to Gary about those tournaments, about his strategy, and about his handicapping career. On the other side of this break, it's the BetAmerica Radio Network. You are in the barn.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back into the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go out to the beautiful state of Colorado and welcome in a two-time Horse Player World Series qualifier via BetAmerica.com. Horse Player Gary Sutton joining us on the show. Gary, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you, Jason?
We're doing great, man. Gary, you qualified not once but twice in our Friday night tournaments that we talked a lot about here on the show. Tell us a little bit how the most recent tournament went for you.
Well, I don't know. I got pretty hot that night. I think I hit six wins in 3 seconds and a third out of 10, which is that's pretty abnormal for me to get, that many connected in a row.
Were you out front at the start?
Yeah, first race and never gave it up. So I think there was a guy right behind me and he was picking almost the same horse as I was. So I kind of feel bad he lost so close.
Well, that's one thing with this tournament is there's no second place.
Right. Yeah, to pick that many winners too, I think he lost by only 10 points, which is pretty close.
Have you been a long-time tournament player, or is it because, I know a lot of people are just now starting to get into them. Is it something you've done for a long time?
No, I actually, Bet America is where I started just a few months ago.
November or so, right?
Yeah. So I haven't had, very little experience and, I haven't played a lot of tournaments. It's more, I started out more on the cash games mm-hmm. and so this tournament stuff is pretty new to me, really.
So do you have a set strategy going into tournaments like Friday night, or is it just literally just try to pick as many winners as you can and hope the prices are sufficient?
Well, it kind of changes, I think. Sometimes I try to pick long shots because I get beat so many times by one or two horses that yeah. come in long, So I think on that day I was picking pretty chalky where I thought, stuff stood out more than normal.
Gary Sutton joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network, and he's now a two-time qualifier for the Horse Player World Series, which is coming up at the end of this month. Gary, with the HPWS coming up, do you like kind of start looking ahead and thinking about strategy for a tournament like that? Because, you said you're somewhat new to tournaments. So is this going to be your first live event tournament?
That's correct. And, I've been looking online, and everybody says, you got to start out, betting 6-1s or higher and go for long shots to get ahead. And it's going to be a different play for me because I'm more medium to chalk bet and my style. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to just, I guess, play my second or third choices and not my best choice.
Well, and the other thing that could be, you know, interesting for you is having two qualifiers, because you know, I know a lot of tournament players don't play two entries. Is that something you've done before, or will that be new as well?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing to me, you know, to try to figure two cards, because you could actually, you know, lose by putting some of your winners on one card and some of your winners on the other.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not really too sure about that. And I actually was thinking about maybe I have a relative out in Las Vegas. He's 77 and goes to horse races all the time, and thinking about maybe having him sit next to me.
And yeah, and kind of each play your own card and see how it shakes out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, two heads maybe are better than one.
Yeah. When I was at the NHC this past in January, I was talking with Vic Stoffer, the old Hollywood Park announcer, and he had two entries in the NHC, and it was something that was new to him. And I remember him telling me, he goes, you know, I feel like I would have actually done better with just one. He goes, because you do spend so much time thinking, okay, what do I want to put on this ticket, or what do I want to put on that ticket? And I imagine the two ticket thing is definitely can be confusing, but I think it can also be, you know, beneficial, because, you know, you do have that extra, you know, that extra, the extra bullets, so to speak.
Yeah, I was listening to, you know what, Kevin Perrell.
Yeah.
And, you know, he thought two was great and three was even better, which, you know, I'm sure when you can fire like that, you know, it's good. And I, you know, I think I won those two qualifiers. I had two entries in one and three in the other.
Oh, okay.
So it did work for me when I did that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and the Horse Player World Series, the other thing that is going to be interesting is it's all elective plays. Like, there's no mandatories. Do you have certain tracks that you tend to focus on in your handicapping?
Well, I know which ones I don't like. You know, I like Aqueduct. I'm just horrible at it.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
You know, I think I'm going to have to just look at the tracks they have and, like I say, throw out the ones I know I'm not good at.
Yeah, for me, it was always Aqueduct and Fairgrounds, like at least this time of year. Those were my two wintertime tracks that I just had no feel for.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just... Yeah, it never comes out the way, even if I've been a favorite, they can't.
Gary Sutton joining us. He's a two-time qualifier now for the Horse Player World Series through Bet America. Gary, how did you get involved with horse racing?
Well, I think when I was maybe 19, I lived about a mile away from Centennial Racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, we started going there and betting on the horses, and we did pretty well, and we decided, well, let's, you know, step it up, and we start claiming, you know, the cheap 2,000, 2,500, you know, 3,200 claimers at the high end.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, we always won, you know, moved them up, we won, and somebody would claim them back.
Yeah.
And this happened, you know, for years. And we, you know, got a lot of winner circle pictures, but never very long.
Yeah.
And, you know, just been always a passion, you know, just getting in that winner's circle picture. And it's, but, you know, they closed Centennial, like, I think in 84 or 5, and it kind of ended my horse experiences for a while.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go out to Arapaho?
Yeah, we do. I started, We started claiming a few horses, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago there.
Mm-hmm.
But we started picking maidens, never went out type, and we never did well with that, you know, claiming approach. And I actually kept one of the mares we claimed, and I bred it, and I ran the horse a couple times last year, but Shinbuck.
Yeah, the claiming game. I've been in it a little bit, and I've never gone to the as far as doing the breeding thing. Was that an interesting process for you?
Yeah, I was out there. You know, the horse was actually born on Kentucky Derby Day.
Oh, so it was a late foal.
Yeah, May 7th. And I was out there, and the mare was having trouble, and I had to, you know, get out there and, you know, pull it out and open the back up and everything.
Oh, man. You're a hands-on breeder.
Yeah, it was kind of a pretty cool experience, really.
Yeah, I one of my good friends is a guy named Dr. Jack Root, and he's got a big farm in Oregon, and I've gotten to go out and see, you know, see the actual breeding and then the births being made, and it's a I couldn't do it as far as the birthing part. I have a weak stomach for any of that kind of stuff, so that's not my milieu. Well, Gary, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to us, and best of luck, of course, down to the Horseplay World Series. I'm going to be down there as well, so look forward to hopefully saying hello and wish you the best of luck.
Well, thanks, Jason. I'm looking forward to seeing you, too.
All right, Gary Sutton joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout. You are in the barn.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Gary Sutton for joining us, as well as the members of the barn jury. And my thanks to you on listener land. Another week of the barn being wrapped up here as we head into the weekend. Hope everybody has some fantastic luck and on your wagers. And best of luck to those who are playing the Gotham in our Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. Reminder, if you bet $10... to $25 to win on a horse in the Gotham, that horse wins, you'll get that bet matched in the Kentucky Derby if the horse makes it into the starting gate. And if it wins the Gotham, it'll probably have enough points to get into the starting gate. So something to keep mind of as we head into the weekend for those Bet America players out there. Again, you can find us on social media at Bet America. We went over 5,000 followers the other day, so that was very cool. So thank you, everybody, for checking us out on Twitter at Bet America. And, of course, you can find us, you can email me, barn@betamerica.com as well. So for all of us at Bet America, we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And we'll see you back here on Monday in the barn.